It's Getting to Know You time once again for July 2023. Our special guest this month is Jean Miller from Madison, Wisconsin, to begin the exploration of this fascinating gentleman's life. Here is our host, Susie B.
Welcome, everyone, to tonight's edition of Getting to Know You. This is July edition, and tonight my guest is Jean Miller, who I know as Bumpa. Welcome, Bumpa.
Thank you.
We're going to begin with some very basic questions. Where were you born?
In Beloit, Wisconsin, in the hospital.
And where did you grow up?
About 10 miles east of that hospital in a little town, Clinton, Wisconsin, which was about 3 miles north of the Illinois border.
Do you have brothers and sisters?
Yes, I was the oldest of five.
Okay, the king of the troop. At what age did your vision problem occur?
Problem started at age 13 with a retinal detachment, and after three surgeries, the third one failed totally, and I went to bed one night having vision, woke up in the morning with no vision, and it's been that way now for 70 years.
Okay, when you started to school, of course, your vision was good. Did you go to the local elementary school?
I did, and I had at least one teacher that my mother had the same teacher at the same grade level. So I grew up in her hometown.
So having the teacher that your mom had, was she often comparing you to what your mom did?
I don't remember any of those comparisons. My younger siblings, however, often encountered comparisons to me, some of which were not necessarily good.
Okay. When you were still sighted, were you involved in sports? What kind of activities were you involved in?
A little bit of everything and a lot of some things. I played baseball and football and basketball. We did a lot of hunting and fishing and bicycle riding. Small town, every adult in town participated in parenting every child in town. So we always knew there were people looking after us, looking out for us and looking after us.
So in other words, you got away with nothing.
Well, I wouldn't go so far as to say that, but we often had to leave town to get away with things.
Okay, when you lost your vision, having been very, very active in sports and just a little of everything, how did this change for you?
At that time, my family and I were living about a quarter mile outside of town. And I had made that trip into town many, many times, walking or bike riding. And I suppose I'd been home a couple of weeks after my most recent hospitalization with no vision. And one day I decided, well, I'd made that walk before, I was going to do it again. So I walked into town. And pretty much from that day on, I decided if there was some place I wanted to go, I would figure out a way of getting there. And I did a lot of hitchhiking from age 14 to age 20 or 21. If there was a place I wanted to go, I stuck out my thumb and hitchhiked.
Okay, we're going to get back to the hitchhiking. When you lost your vision and you finished the surgeries, did you go back to public school?
Not at that point. My last hospitalization had ended in, I think, early June of 1953. And in September 1953, I was enrolled at the State School for the Blind and Visually Impaired, which was about 15 miles from my home. And so I went to what I then referred to as WSVH, Wisconsin School for the Visually Handicapped. And that would have been September 1953.
When you started school there, I'm guessing you were a residential student. Was this a very scary situation for you?
No. It was a new situation. I was living in a dormitory, people I didn't know. It didn't take long at all to figure my way around. I felt like I adapted to being there very quickly.
What were some of the activities you involved yourself in outside the normal classroom, reading, writing, and arithmetic?
I don't even remember that there were many activities. We played in the gym in the evening, and we had, as part of that old building, there were some fire escapes that were like a slide. So you could climb into this tower on the fourth floor and just slide all the way down to the outside world. And we fairly often played in those things with the house parents protesting. They didn't like us to do that, but we survived it for the most part.
Well, that's where our friend Pig got his nickname, was because that was his favorite place to play. And a house mother one day told him, said, "You are dirty as a pig." And that just stuck. So apparently that was a fun place to play.
It was.
Now, were you involved in sports there at the school or music? That's some of the things I just think of on top of my head. And in Wisconsin, you may have had a bigger variety of activities.
I did get involved in the wrestling program, and I also got involved with other guys who sneaking out of the dorm at night and going to downtown Janesville to have a Coke or a hamburger or just enjoy the idea of having sneaked out and not getting caught.
Just checking things out, right? I think you told me, and this may not have been at the School for the Blind, but you did sing in the chorus, and apparently you were pretty good because you sang solos at some special events.
I guess I was involved in the chorus at the school. I did a little bit of singing after that. I sang a solo at my high school graduation, and then I sang at a few weddings after that.
Can you think of any competitions that you were involved in, say, when you were in school? Well, you said you were in wrestling. Maybe sporting or music or debate, any of those things?
No, just the wrestling.
Now, how long did you stay at the School for the Blind? I don't think you graduated from there, did you?
Stayed there 3 years. Essentially had to do my eighth grade over again because I missed most of eighth grade in my hometown. And then I had 2 years of high school. So I had entered the school in September of 53 and I left the school in May of 56 and went home and enrolled in my hometown high school in the fall of 56. Entered that year as a junior.
You entered as a junior, but did you stay 2 years?
I did not. In late January, early February, I learned from one of my teachers, who was also the class advisor, that if I enrolled in his class that he was teaching called Social Problems, that would give me the additional credit I would need, and I could graduate that year. And I jumped at that opportunity because that meant I could graduate with people that I had started kindergarten with. So I did high school in 3 years.
So you graduated early. What did you do the next year? Did you enter college, vocational training, get a job, or did you do something more interesting than that?
Well, I did a number of things more interesting than that. I decided if I was going to go on to school, I was going to wait a year. So I looked around and spent part of the year in the state's workshop for the blind and visually impaired in Milwaukee. Lived there 3 or 4 months. Decided I didn't want to keep doing that. So went back home. And a friend from high school was planning to make a trip to the West Coast, leaving in January to visit another high school friend whose family had moved out there. So we pooled our resources and made the drive to California, January of 1958. And we were gone 2.5 months before we came back.
And this didn't require any hitchhiking, did it?
Did not. Made that trip in a 1949 Ford four-door sedan.
Now, when you came back, well, the next year you enrolled in college, and where did you go?
Yes, I did. Then I enrolled in the University of Wisconsin at River Falls, which was 200 and almost 300 miles northwest of where my family lived. My parents took me up there in September and unloaded my things into the dormitory, and they were gone, and there I was in a place I'd never been where I knew nobody. But it worked out very well as a place to be.
Now, what did you major in?
I had a double major in sociology and psychology.
And how about readers? Did you have problems finding readers? And did you have any good ones?
Had no problem finding readers. And I, well, of course, the story ends that just before my senior year, I wound up getting married, and I married the best reader I had, and she still reads to me.
So you got married your junior year, did you say? Or right before your senior year?
Yeah, the summer before my senior year.
You went ahead and finished university when you got your bachelor's degree. What did you do at that point?
Then I enrolled in graduate school at the University of Wisconsin, Madison, where I worked on a master's degree in social work. That also went well.
Now, I think you have children. And at what point were the children born? Were they born before you finished your master's?
One of them was. In fact, I dropped out of graduate school after my first year because we were expecting our first child. And I went to work for the state of Wisconsin in an institution in the northwestern part of the state, institution that provided care and treatment for emotionally disturbed youngsters, 12 years old and younger. And I worked there for about 15 months, and then I moved back to Madison to go back to graduate school and finished that master's degree, and then went back to that institution where I had to work for another year and a half to fulfill my commitment to them since they had funded my graduate school. And gladly left that and went to the job that I liked best.
Tell us about that job.
When I had done that second year of graduate school, I had a placement at University Hospital. I was fortunate enough that University Hospital hired me, and I became the head social worker in pediatrics. And that started in September 1966.
And how long did you work there?
About 16 years. One of my regrets is that I left that job, but I felt the need to do that since my kids were getting close to the completion of high school and I needed more money and so on. I left that job in February 1979.
We've got you up to this point. You left that job because of the need for more money with teenage children, you thought. What job did you go to then?
Went to a job in the State Department of Public Instruction in a maternal and child health program that they had there.
Now, when you worked with pediatrics, was this also in the oncology department?
Yes. When I was within pediatrics, much of my work was with peds oncology. And what was not oncology was like pediatric neurology with very impaired children and their families. Most of my work, of course, was with the families of those children.
Okay, is that where you retired?
Yes, I retired in, 1997.
All right, let's flip back a little bit. Let's talk about some trips that you have taken.
Well, I'm guessing what you're getting at is my hitchhiking trip from Wisconsin to California and back in summer of 1959, after 1 year of college. A blind fellow that I had known from high school at the state school, who had also finished his freshman year in college, he and I decided we would hitchhike to California. So we did.
And had no problems. That's with a question mark.
Had no problems. We didn't have a lot of money. But we connected with nice people, and we had left the Madison area about 11 o'clock on a Tuesday morning, and by 4 o'clock Friday afternoon, we were in Seattle.
This is incredible. Can you think of anything that stands out in your mind with that particular trip? Because I have another one.
Well, yeah, we spent, I think, 14 hours standing in Missoula, Montana, waiting for a ride. On our way home, we spent 12 or 13 hours outside of Sacramento, California, waiting for a ride. And then we had another stop in Blue Springs, Missouri, where we spent the better part of 14 hours waiting for a ride. Those are not the highlights, but those may be the low points.
Do you have a highlight that you would like to mention?
No, we sat on our little overnight suitcases and played cards by the hour. Had lots of earth reviving and made many changes in the world as we talked about it. Changes that we would like to see made. And none of them have happened.
Now, I think there, after you were married and you probably had children at that point, I'm not sure, but what about your first air-conditioned car? What was it and what adventure did you do with that first air-conditioned car?
First car with AC was a 1972 Chevrolet Impala. And I took my entire month's vacation at one chunk, month of July. We started out with two kids, a tent, and all sorts of gear, some of which was on top of the car and some of which was in the trunk. And we headed west, and virtually every place we stopped and put up the tent, it rained from Iowa to Kearney, Nebraska, to et cetera. visited my brother's family in Colorado Springs, went from there to Alamosa, Colorado, and on to the Grand Canyon, where my brother, who was in the military, met us, camped there for the weekend. Then he had to go back to his military post, and we headed east, and I can't remember whether Interstate 40 was running then or not, but anyway, we went to Albuquerque and then on up through Colorado into Wyoming to a dude ranch, and then home through the Dakotas. Yeah. Oh, like what a trip that was.
Do you have any idea how many miles you put on that car during those 4 weeks?
I do not. We got home and we were all glad to be home.
And you had lots of memories stocked up.
Yes.
Do you have any hobbies, Gene?
I do not. Just reading, and I watch a lot of documentaries on TV, and I'm very fond of various historical things. I enjoy filling my head with trivia that I have absolutely no use for.
Well, I jumped over this. When you started to school for the blind, did you immediately begin learning Braille? And also, at what point were you involved in mobility training with a cane?
Yeah, they started me in Braille pretty much on day one. So I had classes in Braille the whole first year and typing. And I don't remember any Braille after the first year, but I continued with typing and got into dictaphone stuff. The last year I was there, in early spring of 1956, I think after I had been caught a time or two sneaking out after night, somebody said that they thought I should have some mobility training. And I had about an hour's worth of mobility training with a cane. And that was it. That's the only mobility training I've ever had.
And did you continue to use the cane or not?
Yes, I have used the cane all of my adult life, with the exception of a very few months when I did go and get a dog guide. And I came home with that dog in, I think, November. And I sent him back in April or May, because most of that winter I had to leave him at home anyway. He had an infection of some sort in his feet. And in Wisconsin in winter, there's no way you can keep your feet dry. And the kept recommending that I had to keep his feet dry, which meant I had to leave him at home. So I had to give up on using Farley.
Are there any things that we haven't discussed that you would like to add before I give you over to the crowd for questions?
Well, I think I need to have everybody know that our oldest daughter, who was born in May of 1963, died of breast cancer in October of 2001 after having been diagnosed with stage 4 breast cancer in April of 97, which led to my wife retiring in May of 97, and I didn't retire until November. Early on in her illness, she was in such shape that she needed to return home and live with us. And we had the space and the capacity to do that. So she was with us until she died in October of 2001.
Oh, there is something that I just found out about the other day. You and your wife hosted a number of students from other countries while they were in university. Can you tell me that about that and how you got involved in that?
Yes, we did that for many years. We had, I don't know, 30, 35 students over the years. As a matter of fact, coming up on the 7th or 8th of September, one of our students from Japan is coming back for a visit, so she'll be with us from the 8th of September until the 13th, so we're looking forward to that. Anyway, we had many, many students, many of them from Thailand, China, Japan, South Korea. Towards the end, we had four or five young men from Saudi Arabia. We had one from Chile, one young woman from Turkey, and it was a delightful experience. We didn't learn any of their languages, but we learned a lot about their food, and many of them did a lot of cooking for us, so it was a delightful experience.
How did this get started? I mean, what prompted this?
I think my wife had seen an advertisement in a local newspaper that we had a school here in town that was a school entirely put together to teach English. So many students would come here just to learn English. So she responded to that advertisement, and boy, they leaped at it. They had such a need for families to host these students. And our very first student was a young woman from Thailand, and we still see her regularly. She wound up marrying a young man from Wisconsin, and they had two children, and those two children call us Grandma and Grandpa. And we see them often. So it's we maintain contact with a number of those students, and it's made our life quite enriched.
Seeing this has been a wonderful experience for me. And thank you so much for agreeing to do this interview. And I can't imagine anybody that would be better for learning English from, because your speech is slow and very, very distinct. And that should make learning English much more easily done. Do you have anything you want to add before I give you to the crowd?
Just keep in mind when I swear, I speak in other languages.
Oh. Folks, this is your opportunity to ask Gene questions. There's only a couple of things I'd like to request. If you have your key on the control key and someone starts talking and asking a question, please let go of the key, because otherwise Gene will not have an opportunity to answer. And I think we'll make time for as many questions as you have. So, gang, meet Bumpa.
I know you've told some of us in the rooms before, but how did the name Bumpa originate?
Well, our first grandchild, who was born in December of 2001, she got to be approaching 2 years of age, and she could not say Grandpa or Grandma. It came out Bumpa and Amma. And those two names have stuck, and they're still used to this day. And our first grandchild, Harper, will be a senior in college beginning in late August.
Gene, when you and your friend went hitchhiking, was he also totally blind, or did he, I hope, have a little vision?
No, he was also totally blind. Had much the same history as I had. He lost his vision as a result of retinal detachment.
That is amazing. I mean, I don't see how you did that. I mean, how did you know where you were or where you were going?
I think we were both blessed at some level with always having had a very good sense of direction. we used to say we always knew which way was up. And getting lost was something that never happened. And I still am never lost. I pretty much know where I am and how to get to where I want to be.
Hi, Gene. It's Judy. Did you stay in touch with the fellow that you hitchhiked with for many years after you went on your vacation?
Yeah. In fact, he was best man at our wedding. And I've lost touch with him in recent years, but up until 10 or 15 years ago, we still had frequent contact. You know, and Susie, I forgot that I also, after my master's degree, I had a year's training through an National Foundation funding at the Family Study Center at the University of Minnesota, where I had special training in family therapy and marriage counseling. So in subsequent years, outside my full-time work, I also did many hours each week part-time doing family therapy and marriage counseling. But I've pretty much stopped that after I retired.
Gene, I'm just curious. When did you get interested in computers? And I can't remember if you were on For the People or did you start over there, or what chat site did you start on? And has that been a big part of your life?
Yes, I was on For the People. And when I was my last job, I was introduced to a computer. And I think the first computer they gave me had a 40 megabyte hard drive. I may not be correctly remembering that, but I know it was darn small. And I purchased my first computer in summer of 97.
Yes, I met you on For the People. I remembered that. Other people with questions.
And to follow up on Terry's question, I've used the computer a lot, although in the last year or so, with the neuropathy so bad in my hands, my use of the keyboard is really impaired. I don't always know where my fingers are, so I'm not able to do as much as I used to do with the computer.
If it's not out of bounds, Gene, how and when did you meet your wife?
That's not out of bounds. I met her when I was an undergraduate, and she was one of my readers. And just before I came on this thing tonight, she was reading to me again.
Gene, I know you have a passion for music, and we've certainly seen evidence of that, those of us that play music in the music rooms and things like that. Tell us about your involvement with the jazz music scene here in Madison and things like that, and how you got involved in all that.
Well, I have always enjoyed listening to music. I can't play an instrument, but listening to music has always been a thing I've enjoyed. I had an opportunity probably 15 years ago to become active in the Madison Jazz Society. And I was elected to their board probably 12 or 14 years ago. And I certainly enjoyed that, helping to organize 6 concerts a year, bringing in groups from all over the country. And that group, the board that I was on, just disbanded at the end of June. There's a new group taking over, and they're no longer going to be focusing on concerts and the like, much more focused now on jazz education in the schools. And we were doing some of that, but the group now is going to be doing much, much more of that. It's been a good run, and I will miss it.
Are there other questions that some of you may have?
Yeah, thank you, Sue. It's been a pleasure. I hope I was able to answer the questions that were asked in a satisfactory manner.
We enjoyed getting to know you better, Gene.
Sorry I missed the thing. Man, I have to catch it when you put it up.
Well, Gene, again, it's been an absolute treat for me, and I'm sure for others too. And thank you so much for allowing me and the group to get to know you better. So thanks very, very much. And next month, my guest will be Kevin, I think his last name is Dossett, known as Cat Daddy. So you all have a good month, and we'll do it again next month. Thanks, everyone. Good night.
Thank you, Susan, and I will try to behave myself.
This has been a presentation of VIP Conduit.